Blog Talk Radio.
All right, how you guys doing out there tonight? Coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. It is a Thursday, people. I have one more day, and everybody gets to have their Saturday and Sunday for all those who work 5 days out of the week. Coming to you guys about what is true faith? What is true faith? Okay. What is true faith? Many talk about faith, but what faith is really? That's what I'll be talking about tonight, because I've learned something in the last couple of days, and I spent many of my early years in church. Once again, tell you, this is Arthur Joseph Smith. Sorry, I didn't introduce myself. Writer of The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, and The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation, and The Temple Mount, all inspired by God. It's not something I just pulled off my head. And they're very accurate books if you want to be brought up to speed on what is going on. And also, to even just back the show and the ministry that I have, you can get one of those books, and that'll be very helpful, and enlighten you and bring you up to speed. But I was realizing, after all these years of me being involved in church, and then eventually there came a day that there was no church. You know, the church had took a turn to the left. You know, that went down the road what the Bible had forewarned us of. And one part talks about judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. So when everybody had defected, and I left out there, I find myself out here going through a lot of things, or many things I passed through and experienced. But lately, God has been blessing my mind to understand what true faith is. And this is the scripture, because this is part of Thessalonians when it talks about the falling away. But I'm still dealing with the faith. I'm not going away. I just want to read the scripture. It says, for the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, people. And this is something that's talking about, because it says, if judgment had to have begin at us first. A lot of people don't pay attention to that scripture, but that's what really happened. It started at the house of God, and it came in on us in a certain way. Okay, it says, now this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I'm going to start at verse 2, and I'm going to go on through, and I stop probably at verse 4. It says, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand, is present. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, judgment beginning at the house of the Lord. Lord, clearing his house out, clearing up, showing who's who. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, son of destruction, who opposes and exalt himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. Okay? So, what I'm getting at, judgment had begun at the house of God. So, you've been sitting in church all these years, and we've heard about faith, you know, and it tells us there, except there come a falling away first. So these things had to happen. When it said judgment beginning at the house of the Lord, it did. You know, the preachers, those guys who were in authority, began to establish different doctrine that was not supposed to be there. They were defecting from truth. Okay, and so judgment had begun with us. And now it's at the world point. You know, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, will come out of all of this. So, with the church in its defected state, you know, a lot of people, let's get something clear on the church. The church is not the building. We're actually talking about the people, because the word ecclesia is called out one. Many people look at church as a building, and gathering at this building. This is the church. Well, the people in the church, it really is the kingdom of God. Those who have truly have been born again. according to the scriptures. Okay? So the called out ones. So you get out here and you begin to have a whole lot of different issues go on with you. And so what I was looking at, and I have never experienced this in my life. I've heard about it. The preacher's talked about it. And he was talking about when you have to minister to yourself, fight really believing. And I actually, this is one of the reasons I had to show on Thursday, because I actually understand now when you're talking about faith, it's a little deeper than people. Oh, you just believe and make it simple. True faith. And this is in Hebrews. And Hebrews 11, chapter 11. I'm going to read that first before I get to going on and talking about everything that I've learned. But Hebrews 11, okay, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. A lot of people look at that and say, like, it's, faith has to be blind. But it's the evidence of things not seen. It's the expectation of things not seen, okay, as of yet, really, because if you read in chapter 11, that was verse 1. If you jump down to chapter 11, verse 7, it says, by faith, being warned of God of things not seen as of yet, move with fear, preparing the ark to the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heirs of righteousness, which is by faith. Okay, so it tells you faith is the substance of things hoped for, the expectation, the evidence of things not seen as yet. In other words, when you look at your walk as a believer, as a saint of God, Christian, saints or apostolic Christians, which is the correct word, when you look at it, you will be going through stuff, and a lot of people don't tell you in church. They make you have med sun us out, and before they had defected, had us believing that we were superhuman, and no matter what happened, we're like Superman, we're standing up and bullets are bouncing off our chests, and we're just the strongest people there is. Okay, that's what we were taught. But what is true faith? Is that what it really is, that you just going to withstand everything? Is that what the scripture's talking about in faith? Because sometimes you'll go to a church and they'll tell you faith is just believe. I want a car. God going to give me that car. I know you guys have heard those people who give those ladies and stuff, give a testimony and begin to tell you about the car that she wanted and she prayed on it. And then she walked around it and put a little oil on it. And without no money, they gave her that car. That's faith. That's a bunch of garbage, people. I know some of y'all might have been duped into believing that, but that is not what faith is about. It's the everything's not seen as of yet. In other words, what is written in the scripture. Many of you out there today may be going through a whole lot. Your church is defected, and you might, if you don't, depending on how well you know your scripture, you might think something's wrong with you because you're abandoning all the teachings that we were given. Going on to what is called a European, I call it the European gospel because it comes out of Rome that is infiltrated in all the churches, okay, the true church, the true body of believers, those who have been called out. And you see them doing stuff that you can't believe and crookedness and ungodliness seem to be running wild in the assemblies that we're at or I was at. And so now you're by yourself. You know, you've actually undergone those. If you have not really been born again, it really doesn't pertain to you in that way until you do what the scripture has told you. If you have never really been born again, I'm not talking about the religious experience. I'm talking about the scripture experience where Jesus tells you in chapter 3 and 5, he said in his revelation, not revelation, it's the gospel of John chapter 3, verse 3 says, except a man is born again. In other words, he becomes a new creature. He cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, he can't understand the kingdom of God. So that's why so much you hear these people say in churches, and they don't understand, it's talking about God's coming kingdom. But at first it's going to come spiritually. Then now we're at the time, a period of time, in our era, where the physical kingdom is going to arrive. Okay? The true born-again spirit, he said, the deceptive man is born of water and spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. People tell you that ain't necessary to be baptized. Well, Mark 16 said that he that believeth, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. It never said nothing about he that believeth alone, with no actions, dead faith, with no works, no obedience to the scriptures. So you find there's one baptism, and that's another thing we're out here. People think there's multiple ways, and the Bible don't teach that. The Bible teaches there's but one way. I'm trying to stay with my train of thought here. But it's one way and one spirit. Ephesians 4 and 4. And I'm going to use this and we're going to push on to what the baptism is, how you actually really, if you're truly born again, and what you're up against now in your life. Okay, it's going to be Ephesians 4, chapter 4, verse 3. So endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bonds of peace. There is one body. One body. Just one kingdom of God, you know, one assembly. All of us are brothers and sisters. One spirit, even as you are called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who's above all and through all and in you all. So when you understand this, what I'm saying, there's not multiple ways, because when you look at Jeremiah, everybody can't be right, people. The scriptures is right. Let every man be a liar, but let the scriptures be true. Look at what he said. Verse 32 of Jeremiah. And he said, they shall be my people, and I will be their God. I will give them one heart, one mind, and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them. So there's not multiple ways. The true born-again experience, the first century church is what I'm talking about, those who are called out, the teaching that we were supposed to hold to that has now been abandoned, that has left you, many of you, some of you probably still doing good. I can't say this with 100% across the board, but I know the falling away first had to come. So when you see the false prophet and all of that, you know the church, that building where people once fellowship at, is in a bad way. The Bible says in Isaiah 59:19, and I'm still on faith, people. I have not left that yet. Isaiah 59:19, it says, so shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, he says we should lift up a standard against him. Okay. And it's going to be chapter 12. And it talks about that enemy. In verse 9. Chapter 12 of Revelation, verse 9, it says, and that great dragon was old serpent called the devil, Satan, that which deceived the world. He's doing that right now. And cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Okay? And it goes on to say, and I'm going to skip, I'll have to jump back. And it says, and the serpent cast out of his mouth water after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. See, the enemy coming like a flood when Satan infiltrated the church and all that false doctrine. But look at, here it is. I'm going back to verse 10. I just want to get that in your hearing so we won't miss that. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. When did salvation come to all mankind? In strength, in the kingdom of our God, in the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. He said, therefore, rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman, okay, which brought forth the man-child, this nation. It's not it's Jew as in Gentile, but nobody's nothing without Christ. The kingdom of God, us who tell other people about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, who brought forth the male child, the true believers. He persecuted, he went after them when the enemy shall come in like a flood. And he talks about this the time, but then I'll skip down to verse 15. I'm going to go ahead and read that. Verse 14, it says, and the woman was given 2 wings of the eagle that they might fly into the wilderness in her place where she is nourished for a time, times, and a half a time from the face of the serpent. In other words, into that Antichrist, because the time, times dealing with that. I don't want to get caught up in Antichrist, but that's what that's talking about, the 3.5 years before the true church physically really will appear again. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, when the enemy shall come in like a flood. He said, and the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth, those carnal people, and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth, he was angry with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandment of God and his have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we see Satan has come in. He's come in like a flood. And he said, when the enemy should come in a flood, like a flood, we should lift up a standard. What was that standard? That was given to us on the day of Pentecost. Well, that's what in chapter 12 also, if you notice, says, now has come salvation. What came, when did salvation show up? It showed up in Acts 2 the first time, and that was the kingdom of God. You remember, in Luke it says, the kingdom of God shall come without observance, and it should be in you. You won't say lo here or lo there, because the kingdom of God is within you. Okay, chapter 2, and I'm still with faith, people. It says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord and one place. Look at that, one mindset, one place. And suddenly they came from heaven. You can get chapter 17 of Luke and look at that for yourself. Came with sound from heaven. Came without observing. And this was all together in agreement from heaven. And they were rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. And it set up on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And begin, they became a part of the kingdom of God. And begin, in other words, the Holy Ghost, the physical filling of the Holy Ghost, and that makes you a part of the kingdom. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, as it says in Romans 8, you are none of his. You have no parts of our kingdom. Okay, and he began to speak with other tongues, and they begin to speak. And begin to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them others. Not no unknown language. Just watch, don't jump the gun. And they were all dwelling at Jerusalem, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now, when there was noise abroad, the multitude came together, and what happened? They were confounded, because every man heard them speaking in his own language. It was not an unknown tongue, as we hear in these false churches. They understood what was being said to them. They intellectually took it in as well as spiritually, and then repented. Because it goes on into Acts 2, and it talks about one. I know they always use the scripture out of context, because here's the application of this scripture, but first look what it says. And it's Acts 2 and 20. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How you apply that? What you mean? Just call on them, sinner's prayer? Where you get that from? So ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Notice it didn't say God, it said a man. God is not playing tricks. He's not Houdini. He was working through Jesus. Jesus is not God. That is not a fact. He is the Son of God. And he says, therefore, in verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel know surely that God has made creation, that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ, supreme in authority and in our anointing. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked and they were agitated, they were convicted, and said to Peter, see, it's an intellectual language being spoken to them. How would you know to repent if somebody is speaking in tongues, praying over you in a tongue? What the heck? I don't know what you're saying. And how would you know that's from heaven in this day and age? Was you there on the day of Pentecost? I can tell you how it sounds because he's making plain the scripture. That's how the Holy Ghost can give you scripture revelation, a clear understanding of the word. Then you change your way. It says, in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Now they asked for the application of verse 21. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? For the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you, to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. So you'll tell me you call, you'll tell me you're part of the kingdom of God, and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name. You've never been born again. So how is that possible? Tell me, how is that possible? That's possible. It's impossible. It's impossible for you to be saved and you've never been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Spirit. You have a counterfeit gospel that you've been listening to. They're not even telling you, as in Acts 19, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? Okay? So if you have not received the Holy Ghost, what makes you think you're a part of Christ? Romans 8 said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You will have no parts in this. You're not a part of the kingdom of God. You're fooling yourself. You're going to end up in chapter 7 of Matthew when he talks about they're going to come professing to him. Haven't we done all these great works and many miracles? And then he said, I'm going to profess to them, I never knew you. Okay. So, you learn, for those who've really been born again, you're out here, now you have to learn how to apply the scriptures to your life. You find yourself in different situations. And Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and still dealing with faith, and all that I talked about is faith, because that, for you to be saved, you have to believe what the scriptures say. I learned something very interesting the other day. And I was looking at Hebrews 11, and I realized it says it's impossible to please God without faith and without confidence in his word. Then I thought about Romans 8. It says the carnal mind cannot, as entity, is hostile towards the word of God. It won't submit to those scriptures I told you. You don't believe the word of God. That's what it's talking about. You have no confidence in this word. Okay, and so it goes on. And he said in verse 8 and 12, he said, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, people say grace is God unmerited favor. I stop. This is unmerited favor. You hear these religious people say all kinds of things. But here's the true biblical definition of grace. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So grace is the power and authority of God in your life, of his Christ. It's not so much an unmerited favor. It is his power and authority working in your life. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. See, they don't tell you that. They talk about being superhuman, not understanding when you're weak, Christ is strong. If you understood that, you'll know how to hold on when you can't see a way. That's where true faith comes. Do you believe the scriptures? Man, I seem not to be able to break this habit. I can't stop this. But he said, when you are weak, I'm strong. He said, it's made perfect in weakness. He said, most gladly, verse 9, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, So most surely, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmity, in reproach, all these things, different trials of life in your life, in necessity, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The evidence of things hoped for. Okay? That expectation of what is in the Word of God, but not seen as of yet. You don't see your way out, but God promised to bring you out. That's true faith. You put your confidence in the Scripture, not what you see. See, a lot of people are misled because they'll let somebody still read something, look at it on paper, and then let somebody tell them that's not true. See, real faith is when you have the uttermost confidence that God is going to hold to His Word. It's not about you praying and getting a car. It's not about you asking and getting a house. It's not about you praying and getting a wife. It's about what is written in the Word of God. You know it is going to come to pass. You can put your foot on it. Don't matter. It is going to happen. He said, when you're weak, I am strong. So where is this superhuman? You know, where is it? And it shows what's so funny in the Scriptures when he talks about in verse 6 of Hebrews. Then you look at verse 8 and you really understand that people don't believe the Scriptures. They don't understand what true faith is. This is 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Okay? Can't please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is a rewarder. Believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. They go through the trials of up and down life. They keep going. It ain't over. Okay, I didn't do good today. Well, I'm stuck off in this habit, but He said when I'm weak and strong, so at some point He's got to help me overcome this. Faith. You don't see it. But you know because God said it's in His Word, it's going to happen for you. Did you hear me? You don't see it. But because God said it in His Word, you know it's going to happen for you. Get the devil out your ear. Because that's what it be. Satan be talking. People be talking. They don't know what you're going through. They don't know who you are. When you're truly born again, a lot of people, you come in contact with them, they want to pass judgment on you. Want to look at you and have an opinion of your life. Have an opinion of your life. Look at this scripture here. And it is. Yes, it is. It's in 1 John, the Epistle of John. It says in verse 1 John, the Epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 19. Okay. Okay, it says, and hereby we know that we are of truth and shall assure our hearts before Him, being ever to minister yourself, talking to yourself with them scriptures. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. We have faith in His Word. He's going to do what He says. He ain't going to throw you away. Only time you become a castaway and can't come back if you go off into another religion or you start rearranging His religion, the apostles' doctrine, Christ's doctrine, then you can't come back. But if you backslide or you stray or you're weak, remember those scriptures. You talk that scripture to yourself. You begin to minister to yourself. When I'm weak, He's strong. He'll never leave or forsake me. You have confidence in that. People, I thank you guys for your time today. And like I said, if you guys want to support me in any kind of way or back me so I can be on the air a little longer than I normally do, you got to go out and get my books, The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Return of Christ, The Rise of the Antichrist, Return of Christ, The Devil Workshop, History of the Church, The Rise of the Cult, as well as The Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation, which tells you how the Antichrist is going to rule from Jerusalem. And I'd like to thank you guys for coming out once again to the Everyday, not Everyday, I'm so sorry. I want, anyway, it's the Revolutionary Gospel News. Thank you guys for your time. You guys have a blessed evening. May God increase you in the word of God. In Jesus' name, we ask it.